Okay, if you turn to page 183 in the Gold Prayer Book, or the first page of words in the white binder, we'll recite Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Now we'll recite the four immeasurables. First in English on page 34.
It's okay. Baby. No problem. It's okay.
May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And then flip the page. On page 37, we'll recite this in Tibetan. Sem chen tam che de wadang de Chenrezig's mantra 8 times and Green Tar's mantra 7. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Om tare tu re so ha.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. We have a special program this morning, or a couple of special things at the very beginning. Geshe Sangpo is leaving in a few days for Europe and then Tibet, where he will see his parents and he will also see his teacher, Khyentse Rinpoche. Some of you will remember that we had Khyentse Rinpoche here teaching in 2009 and in 2011. There's an opportunity to send greetings to Khyentse Rinpoche. And so how the program is going to go at the beginning is the children have something special to recognize Mother's Day, and then as a group we'll videotape a greeting. I think we can all just say, hello, Khyentse Rinpoche, and please come to Raleigh. Please come to Kadampa Center. I think Geshe Gelug will also have some greetings for him. This videotape is going to be posted on our website and sent to Khyentse Rinpoche, so if you don't want to be online, You can slip out and not be in the video, but you're also, everybody's welcome to be part of it. We just wanted to give you that heads up. Also, if you wanted to do an individual personal greeting to Khyentse Rinpoche, Sandy and John, our wonderful videographers, will stick around after the teachings this morning. So if anyone wants to tape a personal greeting to him, you'll have that opportunity. And then Geshe Sangpo will be here at the end of our program this morning, and we'll have an opportunity to offer him katas and make any other offerings and leave him cards for Khyentse Rinpoche if we wanted to do that. So that'll be at the very end of the program. And I'm going to turn it all over to Christy, our wonderful family program coordinator.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, so as you guys know, today is Mother's Day. And I just want to say a word about how we celebrate Mother's Day at Kadampa Center. Here we talk a lot about bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is the aspiration to realize enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. And Shantideva calls it the jewel that is the seed of pure happiness in the world and the remedy for suffering. Bodhicitta is said to have six causes, and one of those, well, the first one actually, is to recognize all beings as your mother. The idea is that since beginningless time, we've moved through the cycle of birth and death, countless numbers of lives, you and I. If our previous lives are numberless, so too are the mothers that have given birth to us. So one method to develop this deep compassion of bodhicitta is to visualize that all beings have at one time been your mother. And so with a boundless heart, you cherish them. And this means that people like Barack Obama have been your mother. Osama bin Laden has been your mother. Trump has been your mother. All your friends have been your mother. The person who hates you, even Trump's mother, has been your mother. Your present mother has been your mother countless times. All of us have been mothers. And so today, in the United States, we traditionally celebrate mothers, but here in the Kadampa, at the Kadampa Center, we celebrate all of us, and we celebrate this sentiment with all the grown-ups in this room today. So thank you for your care for others and your efforts to develop bodhicitta, and in recognition of your kindness and your bodhicitta aspiration, the children have a gift for you. Children, there's a tray here with gifts. If you will please make sure all the adults in this room receive a token of our gratitude. And as I pass this out to you all, I will read you guys a poem from written by a woman named Amy Young. Everyone? Yes, please. Yeah. Any adult. Oh, thank you. Okay, here's a poem from Amy Young. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who've experienced loss through miscarriage or failed adoptions or running away, we mourn with you. Do you want to read this? Right here.
To those who experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walked the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make things harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who have aborted children, we remember them and you on this day. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed for it to be. To those who step parent, we walk with you in these complex paths. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have empty nests in upcoming years, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. To those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. Okay. The children are dismissed. Not yet. Oh, Ginsler. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, John. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Good morning. And also happy Mother's Day. Okay, one question I'll probably read after maybe a little bit more. Maybe start with short meditation, please. Or short silent meditations. Sorry to interrupt your meditation, but there's limited time here. please, would you mind take one moment to introduce yourself, each other, please? How are you feeling today? How are you feeling?
Last whole week you are not feeling good.
Scott. Scott. How are you? How are you? How are you? You good? Haven't seen you long time. Busy? Huh? How are you? Okay. Okay, okay. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Anybody, you are here first time at the center? If you don't mind to just know, okay. So I will then speak a little bit about meditation, okay? Meditation. So every Sunday that we do get new people here, so and as I said all the time, as I said, you know, you have probably millions of things to do, you know, so beautiful weather, you can go so many different places, but you choose to come here. So then I feel like moral responsibility to share about meditation, whatever I learned, you know, like next 45 years. So, it's very important for me, for all of us, all my friends here, to understand, you know, the purpose of meditation. So it's not just some kind of like new fashion. Fashion, how is that? Fashion. Fashion. Huh? New fashion. Yeah. And in America, you don't need new fashion, you have many fashions. You know, it's all about happiness. See, it's all about happiness. Physical happiness, mental happiness. So it's all about happiness, you know. Religion is for happiness, you know. So then spirituality for happiness. Meditation is for happiness, you know. Liberation, enlightenment, it's all about happiness. Physical happiness. Don't need to explain, because as a human, you experience, you know, physical pain, mental pain, physical pleasures, mental pleasures. As a human, it's not necessarily only people who like practice Buddhism that feel that. It's not like that. Every human, every living being, you know, experience that. So physical happiness, according to Buddhism, is, you know, all these sensory pleasures, related to five senses, these are considered as a physical happiness. It's not mental happiness. So, at the same time, these are very heavily dependent on external object. But if there's external object, there'll be, if you call whatever you call happiness or pleasure or Tibetan, there's only one word, deva. Could mean pleasure, could mean happiness, depend on the circumstance. Huh? So here you have two words, you know, like in English probably there's many, many more words than Tibetan. Oh yeah. Anyway. So, you know, we heavily rely on external object, you know, so it does not guarantee if there's external object that you experience pleasure, it doesn't guarantee. So on the other hand, you know, mental happiness, or something that generated by thinking, you know, by thinking. So meditation is, oh, just sit down, think nothing. That's not really, you know, like meditation, it's not making any change, you know, any change. So now it's very important to think about mental happiness, you know, mental peace. What are the obstacles for mental happiness? When you get angry, regardless, American, Tibetan, Buddhist, nun, monks, popes, anybody, regardless, you know, cat, dog, or monkey, elephant, all of them, you know. There will be no mental happiness. There will be no mental happiness. There is obstacles, you know. What we call like afflicted mind, something to worry about. If you're truly seeking mental happiness, then there's something to really worry about, you know. Afflicted mind? Called nyumung, Tibetan word nyumung. Minute, the moment it arises, there's no mental happiness. You can be a billionaire, you can be a professor, you can be a scientist, you can be all kinds, you can be monks, you can be gishi, you can be anything, but you don't have mental happiness. No. Minute that afflicted mind arise, there's no mental happiness. That's the truth. It's not only, that's according to religion, that's why they say, no, you experience day-to-day life. When you get angry, do you experience mental happiness or not? No, is that the symbol? So, meditation, you know, gomtob nyumochumas, gomtob, the power of meditation is to minimize, subdue afflicted mind. So then, meditation becomes productive. Whether you are sitting like this, walking, cleaning, biking, climbing, sculpting, long as you manage to control afflicted mind, that is meditation, even though it doesn't appear as a meditation. It is meditations. Oh. Enemy is within. It's not like something outside. Oh, it's like, oh, my neighbors, every Saturday morning, they use like lawnmower, so loud. No, that's probably enemy. No. Enemy is within. Dhanana deve nimotus. Enemy is within. What is that? That refers to afflicted mind. Easy? It's not easy. That's the truth, you know. So I could say, oh, it's very easy, you do this two day, three day, you'll be free. That's lie. That's not true. But if you're truly, genuinely, sincerely seeking mental happiness, we can't give up. You know, we have to fight with that, you know, if you didn't mind, okay? So this just want to share with you, you know, gomtob nyumochuma, gomtob, power of meditation is to minimize who subdue afflicted mind, afflicted mind. Somehow this mind is attached to the flower. So when you put closer to the flower, it don't make any noise. So how you can do? How you can minimize, reduce afflicted mind? Think something positive. Think something good. Positive thought and negative thought cannot arise simultaneously. Why? It's nature. It cannot arise simultaneously. That's why people do concentration meditation. They just concentrate on a single object, or they just review some material they remember by heart, and they go through their materials just to keep their mind on track. On track. Analyze, So that's meditation. If you do that, if you're able to do that, your life will be happier, happier. Whether you're believing in something, not believing in something, it's not based on that, believing in something, not believing in something. If you believe in something, you'll have more happiness, not like that. If you keep your mind on track, right track, your life will be easier. Therefore, I've been encouraging last 18 years at the Kadamba Center. It's important, it's very, very important. I've been saying this, some of your ear may already burn out. And it's important. There's no one answer that will solve all our problems. It is complicated, What we call in Buddhism, we call samsara. It's complicated. It's like oceans. It's not calm oceans. That ocean is not calm. It has wave, wild wave, wave of actions. People do all kinds of things, say all kinds of things. The actions, there's one wave. Then behind that action is like mindset, all kinds of mindset. In that ocean, there's all kind of complication, all kind of complication. So that's the nature of some. There's nothing is perfect. Long as so far as samsara is concerned, there's no perfections. According to Buddhism, perfections, once you liberate it from samsara, then there's perfections. Here, look around, everything comes with a complication, everything, so not having cat is one complication, I think. Not having cat. I like to have cat, so good, but having cat also complications. So then Prabhupada will say, I like to have cat. That part of mind is gone. You already have one. So comes to come to everything. Life, possession, job, education, friend, family, everything. What is that? That's the nature of samsara. That's the nature of samsara. It's nothing, there's something you are doing wrong. It's like the nature of samsara. Meditation, back to the meditation. So, you understand? Purpose, the power is very important. I'm not ordering you, I'm just sharing my knowledge about meditation. Once you understand, purpose or power of meditation to reduce disturbing thought, that's the one why it's called enemy within, that's the one is destroying your mental happiness. So, such as loving kindness, compassion, bodhicitta, tolerance, forgiveness, all of that is positive mindset. When you're able to develop that, So that's good things, Compassion is wonderful things, Compassion is wonderful, it brings mental peace, happiness. So, I just want to share that with you, you know, the purpose of power meditation is to reduce the amount, you know, minimize or reduce, best case, root out. Root out. No more negative thoughts, you know, just pure thought. Wherever you look, just pure. Dhakpa ramjam, just pure. People, wonderful. Oh, you know, just environment, oh, it's very special. It's not just like normal, it's very pure. You know, that's what you do according to the, you know, like Tantrayana teaching. When you practice that, that's what you're supposed to do. When you see people, it's all pure. Environment is all like mandala, you know, nothing wrong, pure. But you can trust that you have thought. You can able to see that, you know, thought. Not that necessarily means it's out there, but you know, everything is a reflection of the mind, right? Reflection of the mind. The nature of the mind is empty. See? According to emptiness teaching, everything is just, there's nothing serious. There's nothing serious. We make them serious, there's nothing serious. You know, like when we gather together, children talk, children cry, children play. It's not serious. But that's what they do. They talk, they play. That's what we used to do when we were young. We play, we talk. You know, so, oh no, 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 you are not supposed to talk in the Kadamba Center. You should be quiet. It's a very serious thing. We just made it up. We just made it up. Why is it so serious? No? According to emptiness teaching, everything is like illusions. Like illusions, you know? It's not illusions, but it is like illusions. You just label. You just superimpose. You just label and superimpose something is not there. You just made it up. Therefore, it is like illusion. It's not illusion, it is like illusions, you know? Like illusion, no? It's like dream. It's like dream. When you're dreaming, all kind of things happening when you wake up. It's just memory. It's not real. It's just like, it is a dream, you know, it's not. But really, while you're dreaming, is happening, you know, like, it's like, you know, not able to run, chasing by something, not able to run, all of a sudden your feet get, how is it? Huh? Stuck, you can't move, like, not in the, stuck in the mud, but you know, there's no mud, but you can't run, huh? You can't, like, you know, can't run, but, you know, there's nothing wrong in your feet, but your feet is perfect, but you can't run. I mean, there's a lot of fear, you can't, even though you try to run, it's not paralyzed, but, you know, you can't, like, yeah, like frozen, your feet is frozen, you can't run, you know, like that. Dream, there's so much emotion, all kinds of emotion when you wake up. It's just a dream. See, it's just a dream. So, I, what's that? Well, I'm so unhappy. I'm so disappointed. I really hate somebody. What is I? What is I? What is self? What is self? Do we have any clue? What is self? Is it the body? Or is it the head? Or is it like one ear? What is it? Becoming attached to, oh, I, you know, then my, what is that? How you define that I? Did you ever analyze experience of self? Did you ever analyze that? Did you ever analyze? Or you just flow with that? You go flow, or you just go with that? Did you ever analyze? Or maybe grasping so tightly on something, probably that doesn't exist at all. It doesn't exist at all. Clinging so tightly, grasping so tightly something that does not exist, or maybe doesn't exist exactly the way you believe or see. Maybe need to analyze, you know, need to analyze. So there's the the teaching on emptiness. No, emptiness. Emptiness does not mean nothingness. It means something very profound. How we interact with the object, not just as an object, and with the self. How we interact with self. And do we have any clue if somebody asks you how you define self? No? How I become Gishi Gelak? I become Gishi when I graduated from monastery. Then they give me title Gishi. So then after that, when people see, that's called Gishi Gelak. When I was born, I was just baby, you know. I'm not Gelak. I'm nobody. I could be John, I could be anything. But somebody called me, give me label Gelak. So then I become Gelak because somebody labeled. It's not like, oh, you become Gelak right from the beginning. It's not like that. Everything, you know. How this become prayer wheel, or somebody made, used to be lumber, used to be tree, lumber, and somebody shaped, you know, like made this, then this design, that's called prayer wheel. That's how it become prayer wheel. Our problem, same, you know. Reflection in the mirror, when you look at the mirror, you see all men cut here, living. Doesn't know all kind of things we do here. No? That looks exactly like face, but that's not face. It's the reflection of the face. So it looks exactly like face, but it's not the face. It's the reflection of the face. Where it's reflecting in your mind. Nature of mind like space. There's nothing. It's empty. There's nothing. When you lay down the park, when you look up clear sky, looks like that. There's nothing. But things reflect. No, reflect. So, mind, you know, there's like so much thing going on in the mind, you know. Therefore, you know, like meditation become critical. You know, it's like how to tackle the disturbing thought. So, yeah, so every problem that we feel, answers are there. Answers are already there. It's not like, oh, there's no answer. There is answer. But we learn, we don't implement them. But, you know, it takes, you know, time and practice and patience. It takes time and practice and patience. So, if you think, thinking is very important, critical. If you think, not just think, and think, and think, and think, slowly, slowly, your thought will change. Slowly, not right away, slowly. You think one, no, or maybe somebody asks you money, okay, so then you give. That's a good thought. Then there's many thought will follow up, you know, like many thought, or like say, if somebody asks, oh, can you give me 35 cents, you know, for what? For buy cigarette. Cigarette? Sorry, cigarette, no cigarette. No cigarettes on this one. No, there's all kind of thought could arise, you know, why you smoke. It's not good for health, blah, 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 blah. Or you could just give 35 cents. Must be there. Then look into your pocket. Then you have no change, no $1 bill. You have only $5, $10 bill. You just give $5 bills. Person asking 35 cents, you give $5 bills. The person says, thank you, I will bring you a change right away. You never see that person again. Then what kind of thought arises? The second moment of thought could destroy everything that you did in the first moment, could destroy it and for nothing. Or you can think, make sure that first thought will be preserved. they're just willing to give. So their thought could erase, not just erase, then after that, so many disturbing thoughts arise. In the end, man is gone, no mental happiness, nothing to rejoice, then on and on and on. Happens, you know? Like, think, slowly, you don't, how do you say, drawn to all the stories about to create, all the thoughts about arise, you analyze them one by one, one by one, one by one, you stop them. Stop them. Then, it requires something to think about. You can't just stop them. While you're thinking, you have to, have some resource, you know, some knowledge to, you know, emptiness. You can say emptiness is the one thing you can think about. Or maybe impermanence is the one thing you can think about. Or maybe karma is the one thing you can think about. You can stop. There's ways to stop disturbing thought. Therefore, in Buddhism, it's highly recommended to study, you know. You need knowledge. Because why? The wisdom, by hearing something from friends or the center, hearing something. Wisdom generated by thinking, not just, you know, hearing what you are thinking about, what you heard or what you read. Thinking, better wisdom. Then thinking deep, that's the wisdom. That wisdom will liberate you. Not simple desire, the wisdom liberates, you know? Lo yi tol. Concentrations, meaning you concentrate on a single object makes your mind calm and peaceful. Wisdom liberates, frees. That's called wisdom. But that requires knowledge. No knowledge, no wisdom. No wisdom, no result. See? So therefore, don't just burst out. Dr. Brown, the only word I can pronounce correctly is downtown. Downtown rallies. Ice cream in downtown rallies. So oh, there's only one word can pronounce without mistake. So, burst. Yeah. See, you just explode. You just explode right there. Like, how dare that you told me that you can bring me change your way. All the happiness gone. Therefore, as I mentioned, meditation is think. You not just think. And think, that's how you stop. Analyze, thoroughly analyze every thought that arises, you analyze them. You know? Then based on wisdom, generated by knowledge, then you stop them one by one, you stop them. In the end, you have your peace of mind. You're still able to manage to keep that peace of mind. Not just that, also increase. Wow, pretty good, you know, pretty good. I stopped all this ripple of thought about to disturb my peace of mind. I stopped them one by one. I feel great. I feel very good, you know. That happiness multiplies. That is mental happiness. Not because you're eating something, smelling something, buying something, just by thinking, you know. So in Dharamsala, you know, the mountain, there's monks, nuns, they dedicated the rest of their life for meditations. When you go to visit them, materially they have nothing. Their mind is filled with joy. You know, thinking something positive all the time. Life is a very simple life, you know, doesn't require, you have to help. When it comes to mental happiness, you don't need much, you know. really much. You know, it just satisfies your happiness, satisfaction, not come from doing stuff. There's not a way to achieve satisfaction. Satisfaction, you will obtain satisfaction by thinking. Every day there are so many reasons to be happy. Or do we ever say, oh, I'm happy? How often we say? In America, people don't say, I'm happy. Where in the world people say, I'm happy? You have so much, not just one supermarket, you have like Hastings, you have like Sam's Club, you have Costco, you have BJ. Unbelievable amount of, the resource. Once in a while, it's very important to say, I am happy because I can see. I can hear. I can walk. Some out there, people are investing all their resources just to see. So, going everywhere, traveling all part of the world. Oh, there's holy place, when you go there, it will heal, go there, all kind of things people do just to see. How much happiness we get just knowing we can see? How much? Zero. Nothing. So that's what I mean. Think something positive. Wake up with positive mindset. Go to bed with positive mindset. Or eat with positive mindset. You know, don't eat cheesecake with all kind of mindset. That only happens in America or maybe in the West. If you have cheesecake in like Nepal or India, they eat with one thought. Wow, they're so good. And then, not all kinds. Oh, I shouldn't eat this. No, why I'm eating this? If you eat, just eat. If you even eat, you eat. When you sleep, you sleep. When you play, you play. When you talk, you talk. With one thought. Not like 100 thoughts. But with one thought. That's how you simplify. Simplify life doesn't mean giving up all the things. You need to simplify here. You can get rid of everything, but it's still there will be a lot of, it's not simple here, simplify here. So, just want to share that with you. waking up, as a Buddhist, what you do, you're supposed to think about precious human life. That's how you wake up in the morning. Precious human life. Oh, this life is so precious. Oh, this life is like a boat. It's capable to sail. The oceans have, problems. Sometimes it's like ocean of problems. This is boat capable to sail through that oceans. Better to sail now rather than hoping that you might get this boat again sometime. Who knows? Maybe not. This is because there's a board. Me, Tula, Tene, Dungachu, Cheletos. To the Chini, Nyegave, Mongwetis, Nyemalos. Say, Shadi Deva, around 8th century, or this book is already written by one of the Indian masters called Shadi Deva. He already wrote these books around 8th century. It's very well known in, Tibetan Buddhist society. So in that book, Shadi Deva says, I'm not just making this up. Shadi Deva said, me, Tula, tell me this. This is like boat. Dunga, chuo, cheletos. Problem like oceans, you can sail. You can sail, you can go beyond. To the Chininyekaves, this boat is hard to find again. Don't, just space around. Oh, space around? Space out. Space out, no space out. What does space out mean?
Not pay attention.
Yeah, don't just let this boat sit there, do nothing. Oh? So therefore, this is precious. This is precious. So that's why when you think about yourself, you think about, this is something very precious, very meaningful, very difficult to find. See, that's what it is. It's not like, I don't like myself, I hate myself, I'm this and that. That's what we should not think. If you're seeking mental happiness, that's what you should think. If you're seriously, genuinely seeking mental happiness, you should think more positive things. More positive. Think something positive. That's the way to go. That's the way to go for mental happiness. Or you could go to church every Sunday, you could come here every Sunday at the same time, thinking just negative. Then it's just a waste of time, it's just a waste of time. Better to go to beach. No, so much, much better than laying down. So see, meditation doesn't mean you have to sit down like this. No, you can sit down like this, look very serious. Does it look very serious? But you have no idea what's going on here. If something negative is going here, this is just a waste of time. It's just completely a waste of time. It's worse than chicken sitting. No. Or laying down on a beach, you know, sandbathing. Sandbathing? What do you call it? Sunbath? Does that look like serious meditation? Does it look like serious meditation? Huh? Does it look like serious meditation? Not at all. Not at all. But depend if you're thinking something positive. Oh man, everybody has not this kind of lifestyle. Enjoy sunbath. That is meditation. Even though it's called sunbath, it is meditation. It's much, much better than sitting there like that very seriously and thinking, why that person next to me using phone again and again? Aren't we meditating here? Aren't you supposed to be silent? That's not meditation. Think something positive. Think something positive. Not easy. That's no easy answer. That's no easy answer. Oh. If you're truly, genuinely, sincerely seeking happiness, we have to analyze every thought that arises throughout the day. You have to analyze them very precisely. Sake of your own happiness. No, analyze them very precisely. Oh. That's the way to go for happiness. If there's happiness within the mind, sensory pleasure is not that big deal. If you have one, you enjoy greatly. If you don't have, no need. No. Because the mind is filled with joy. Mind is filled with joy. So that requires, you know, some knowledge. Without knowledge, it's not, you know, you can't just say, you know, that without knowledge, you know, you can't just analyze them, but wait, how to stop them. You have to have some knowledge how to stop them. That's called wisdom, generated by knowledge. You can know. So that's about meditation. So I just want to share. So then, here, one question. Did I read these questions? Probably not. So I will read this question. Then, please, contribute. You know, say something, okay? So, and the people could put question here, so then I'm hoping that you will answer I will read the question, then you answer the questions. It sounds good? I think multiple answers is more good, you know, than just... So I will read this. They're probably sitting here a long time now. I did like to know more about the relationship between generosity and self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice, huh? Is it clear? I did like to know more about the relationship between generosity and the self-sacrifice, huh? Sometimes you can be generous to the point where it is detrimental or ungenerous to yourself. How do you know where to draw the line? So this is the offering from my side to your offering. So you can answer that. So without pressure, now if you want to see something, please do. Without pressure, I'm not going to pressure you. So anybody want to say? Yeah, please. Yeah.
I think that is why generosity, it comes from not having expectation. You don't sacrifice yourself if you don't have expectation of anything in return. and when you are aware of what you're doing. So if you all, I believe that if you're always thinking that you're going to get gain something from that, what you're giving, then you start sabotaging your own needs and you start detrimenting, I don't know if that's a word, yourself. So I think it's just that when you give without any expectation, and I think that, yeah. Makes sense?
Gessler, I was just thinking of what you said a little while ago about giving someone 35 cents, and your first thought is generous, is good to give that person something, but then you have to watch every thought after that. So maybe it's the same thing where you're being generous to someone, but if you have your thoughts start changing to where it feels like you're harming yourself by helping that person, then that's the important thing, is to watch how your thoughts change as you do it, maybe. And if your thoughts are changing to the point where it feels like you're harming yourself, then maybe you have to either change your thoughts if you can, or change the situation if you're really harming yourself.
Mm, yeah, very good.
I know there's the one saying, don't take clothing from a naked man. So you have to have something to give to be able to give something, you know, too. So that, you got to look out for yourself before you're capable of looking out for somebody else.
That's a question that I get quite often. With the guys I work with in prison. All right, so I think it really comes down to, and it's very similar to what my man said there, I think it comes down to really knowing yourself. We have to know ourselves and know whether or not we can actually give this, that we can actually do this, you know. Oftentimes we give and we aren't really prepared to give, or not really able to give, just because we feel compassion in our heart, we feel like we must. So I think with generosity, like with everything else, there has to be some wisdom, right? We have to know if we can give, and then should we give? And then, based on that, then we give.
I think one of the things that I always use, because generosity is something that, especially all of you here at Kadampa Center, I think we have very generous hearts here, but it's being able to learn, being able to give generosity without regret, okay? So that's kind of a statement that we use. It is being able to be generous without any regret, and then the wisdom of knowing, you know, how generous can we be, because we need to remain sustained ourselves, okay? Because the more that we can do for ourselves, the more we're able then to give. So it's almost the self-fulfilling circle that we can do, because the better that we do for ourselves, the more we can give to others, and then it goes around. But being able to give, I think, without regret is really important.
I was just going to add what you're saying, that like one of the things that was one of my affirmations for the New Year's Eve, I don't make I make just affirmations, not like what I'm going to do. And I said, I take care of my loved ones by taking care of me. And being a mom today, that's one of the things that you realize, that if you don't, it's not being selfish, but if you're not whole, you can be anything for any other person. You had to be whole yourself to give out. So that's one of the things.
So this girl. Anyone want to say something? Yeah.
Is this on? Okay. As I've been sitting here listening, I first want to express my appreciation and gratitude Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah, very good, yeah.
I want to express my appreciation and gratitude for being part of this group. With the various backgrounds, it appears that everyone who is here is still seeking for the same thing. And regarding man's search for happiness, that's been ongoing for eons of time. Many people achieve happiness through their belief in God or a God. But what about those who don't believe in God? How are they to receive such happiness? I believe that it's incumbent upon each of us to believe and search after the goodness in the hearts of others as well as in our own hearts. Talking about knowing ourselves, years ago, one of my sisters, because of the oppositions and struggles that I had, one of my sisters said, "You sure have had a lot of opposition in your life, haven't you?" And I said, "If it wasn't for opposition, I wouldn't know what to do." Well, as time went on, I realized that that was a true statement. The more I've been faced with situations, the more I've learned about myself and learned what I can do, and I can present the goodness that I have for the benefit of others, which I really appreciate doing. I don't think we can learn ourselves if we just sit and do nothing, but we try. We move forward and learn along the way and take that knowledge and apply it towards our own growth. And in the process, we can benefit others in our paths. And I just want everyone here to know that I appreciate the struggles that each individual has, and I hope that in your quest for knowledge and truth that you can receive that happiness that you desire. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the last one.
This is on. So, you know, I can kind of talk from my experience in life. So there was a situation in my life where an individual hurt me very badly, and I was kind of fearing for my safety with this individual, and I was giving this person a lot of generosity and trying to really help this person by showing them the teachings and those types of things. And that person continued to come back and hurt me over and over. And so I had to draw that line of being generous because I had to start protecting my mind at all costs. So I think there's a balance. Just like with Buddhism, there's a middle way. There's no white or black answers. It's kind of all grayscale. There's always a middle way. So I think if the intent's there to be generous and to really truly help someone by being truly compassionate and understanding those principles of karma and impermanence, I can apply those. But when I'm still applying those, because in this situation I was still applying those principles of impermanence and karma, looking at that person's karma and my person's karma, but when it really started to continue to affect my mind and my safety, that's when I really had to draw the line and start being generous to my sanity and my mind stream so that I could keep it in a more positive place. So it's challenging. This isn't like an easy topic. I think there's no like easy answer here. And it's on like a case by case basis.
So just want to say a few this about this. You know, one of the books they wrote by same author Shantideva, like probably around 8th century, is called Love to like Love Kunindava. Maybe Chugila may find. So one book, there's like Guide to Buddhist Way of Life. That book is all stanza, no? That's the one I'm quoting. So there's another book. This all loose sentence. So in that book, it clearly states, talks about generosity. Give if you are capable. Give. Not protect. Down, soon, protect, talk. So make it pure. Not just no stealing from something, giving something, somebody does, but pure. Material-wise, that object is been stealed by from someone else to giving to someone. That's impure, you know. Down, soon, talk. Pure means, no, then that mindset, that the willing to give, that mindset needs to be multiplied. No, it has an increase. No, like that. No, that's very important. Second is called protect yourself, your wealth, your thought, whatever, your emotion, your thought, your possession, your property, your wealth. If you, then that's the second is first give, then protect. Who said Shantideva said when around 8th century? I don't make it up. No, Shantideva said. So that's important to remember. You know, like. You can act like Bodhisattva, okay, no, you can act like that if you are not. So this, we can act like Mother Teresa, but we can, you know, we can look up to her, how generous she's been being, you know, we can look up, we can admire, inspire, but, you know, your mind has to be ready, you know, if not, then protect. Compendium of training. That's this thick book. So if you wonder, oh, what I say is, if you wonder that I just made it up, then please look into that book. Then you'll find it. Okay, oh yeah, thank you very much. Thank you and have a nice weekend.
In just a moment, Geshe Sangpo will join us, but Elise has a quick announcement to make. And then if you would like to offer a kata, there is a basket of katas at the back of the room if you don't have your own.
No, so if you don't mind, if I say a few words, if you don't mind, maybe 1 minute about Geshe Sangpo. No, Geshe Sangpo, he was born in Tibet. No, his whole family still live in Tibet. No, his parents still live in Tibet. So last couple of years, fortunately, he is able to get a visa to go there, to visit his family, like after 25 years. I had like 25, 30 years. That's the first time he went there, Tibet, to see his, you know, sister, haven't met. So now this year, Geshe Sangpo is, you know, going there again, and hopefully there's a group of people, like dentists, voluntary dentists from Taiwan, go to Tibet, you know, so probably give them free treatment. Hopefully everything goes well. So then, I requested Jill and Donasi, you know, if anybody wants to help, you know, in people in Tibet, like for education purpose or maybe nunnery, monastery, so whatever, you know. So I'm just like, telling you the information, then whatever decision that you make is totally 100% up to you. So then there's opportunity. So, okay, yeah, thank you.
I'm Elise Strebel, Outreach Coordinator. Just wanted to remind you we have an ongoing project called the Love Note Project, which is an opportunity for you to express compassion in action and generosity like we talked about today, some generosity of mind and heart with very little time. It's there's packages and on the back wall across from the shoe rack that look like this contain 10 note cards, blank note cards and envelopes. And all you need to do is write a little heartfelt note to touch the heart of somebody who is lonely, who needs a little encouragement or just a little tender piece of love from you. And these notes will be delivered to Meals on Wheels recipients who are isolated, just really needing someone to reach out to them. You can pick up blank note card packs on the wall rack. When you're finished with them, just return them to the same place and they'll be delivered to Meals on Wheels. Thank you very much.
So we'll do the final dedication prayers, starting on page 246, a prayer from Shantideva. And in the white binder, it's just on the back page of the opening prayers that we did. Page 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by suffering the body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And if you just turn back one page, we'll do the long life prayers. We'll switch back and forth between these two pages. First for His Holiness. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. And then for Khenpo Rinpoche, the one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Awatari, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. And for Lama Zopa Rinpoche, you who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjina's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior, myself, and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And then for Geshe Gelug and Geshe Tsongkhapa's long, happy, healthy lives, we'll do 7 Tara mantras. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha.
I'd like to make one quick manager note here, just a little monetary thing. If you're giving any gifts to Geshe Tsongkhapa, they have to be written in his name, Dipaldon Tsongkhapa. If you're writing a check, cash is perfectly fine. So not to the Kadampa Center. It's real important. And if you put it in the donation box, that will go to the Kadampa Center. So if you could hand it to him or give it to somebody, and in that way, it has to go towards him. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And the membership or new membership orientation, the back of the Gampa. Okay, thank you.
So if anyone wants to come up and offer katas. And maybe just to make the most of our merit, we'll recite some Tara mantras at the same time. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.